Are there angels on earth? Well, no, not the kind with wings, but those of us who can make a difference with a very simple act or two. Well, Laura Schroff is a New York Times bestselling author of An Invisible Thread about how an act today can really follow you throughout your life and the life of who you helped. Now comes her latest book, Angels on Earth, which Laura says if we honor and activate the invisible thread, those connections in our lives can really become angels on earth for each other. Laura, what a pleasure to have you with us on Pop Off.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Jane. I'm delighted to be on your show.
Now, tell us how it all started back in 1986 with Maurice.
Yeah, back in 1986, I was living in Manhattan, and as I was walking up my street, I saw a young boy with his hand out. And as I passed, he said, "Excuse me, lady, do you have any spare change? I'm hungry." And I'm sorry to say that I originally said no, and I kept walking, but then all of a sudden it kind of resonated what he said to me, and what he said was he was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to him, and I said, "I don't want to give you any money, but if you're hungry, I'll buy you lunch at McDonald's." And he was pretty surprised because he was really used to people treating him as if he were invisible. So we went to lunch. We had a very nice lunch. We spent the afternoon together, and then we went our separate ways. And on Thursday, this happened on a Monday, I just couldn't seem to get him out of my mind the entire week. And I decided to see if I could possibly find him. And that night, he was really hungry, and he thought maybe if he stood on the same spot, he might see me again, and I might offer to take him to lunch, which, of course, I did do. And while we were having dinner, I said, "I've got a great idea. Why don't you meet me next Monday, and we'll go out to dinner again?" And we wound up meeting every Monday for the next 4 years, hundreds of times thereafter.
No way.
And that's kind of how the whole thing started.
How much did you find out about him over that 4 years? You must have known everything about his life.
Well, in the beginning, he was very careful about what he did say to me and what he didn't want me to know. But, of course, as time went on, I discovered pretty early on that he was, unfortunately, kind of stuck in this really hard, bad world where, at 11 years old, he had no choice but to fend for himself.
Mm.
But then, of course, as, again, time went on, I learned more about, you know, his life. But he was living at the Bryan Hotel, which was one of the most dangerous shelter hotels in all of New York City.
Mm.
You know, his father left when he was six, his mother was a drug addict, and, you know, on and on and on.
It's amazing. 4 years you met with him every Monday. That's amazing.
Yeah. We actually, it's over 30 years now that we're still friends, which is incredible.
Gee. So how did he get out of that life? I mean, did he make it on his own? How did you help him, or was it because you helped him at the beginning?
Well, you know, he always thought, and this was before he met me, that he would always go into the family business at the age of 13, and that was to become a drug dealer. But then as we started to really get to know each other and he would go out to my sister's house on Long Island, he started to see a different world. And he decided that this was the world that he really wanted to be a part of. So it's hard to believe he's 43 years old and he has a family of his own. And the wonderful thing about Maurice is that he broke a cycle. You know, his children will never know from poverty, drugs, and violence.
Fantastic.
That cycle has been broken, which I might add is not so easy to break when that's all you know.
And I think one of the problems, too, and I want to get your read on this, Laura, we see a lot of people on the streets or on the corners, and I've had this where I've offered, and I've had both sides of it. I've had where people will go, "Yes, thank you very much." I said, "Well, you know, you pick wherever you wanted to go." And I saw one woman that was at a grocery store, and I said, "You know, pick out whatever you need, or if you want to eat something, you know, they've got this area where, you know, you can put your own food together." And but then I also had other people who would refuse food. You know, they just wanted money. And, you know, I always wonder if that money is going to go to drugs and or alcohol.
Well, you know, I hear those stories all the time, too. And I guess the way that I feel is if, and I'm not 100% that it's right, but I guess I'm not in a position to judge how they spend their money. I spoke in Indiana last week, and when the event was over, this man came up to me and he said to me, you know, he used to give people money on the streets all the time. And his family and friends used to, you know, tell him that, you know, he really shouldn't be doing that. And then one day he saw a pregnant woman, and he walked past her, and then he realized what he did, and he decided he wanted to go back. He said, and when I went back, he said, she was gone. He said, and I never, ever forgot or got over the fact that I, in that moment, I didn't help her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate that we also have these experiences that are not positive. But
well, it's not only a positive thing. You just don't want to enhance a person's bad behavior because that's not going to help them get out of it.
And you're 100% right. But, you know, it's a different, it's a hard call to make.
Oh, it is.
I mean, we see people on the street corners.
You know, we see people in the street corners or, you know, at a stoplight. And I don't know, I've kind of gotten a point where if I see somebody that's younger, not young, but younger, it's like, well, no, wait a minute. You know, this person is able-bodied. Now, if that person is in a wheelchair, they're older, they're looking really ill, I will never pass that.
Yeah.
But my dad taught me very early. I was born and raised in Chicago. And he used to, on the street, Michigan Avenue, you would have all these people that at that time, years and years ago, they used to call them bums. Well, they're not all bums. We know that.
Right.
But he would always offer, if you are hungry, you pick where you want to go, I will buy you food anytime.
Yeah.
But if they wanted just cash, he had a real affinity for that. You know, it's like, I think they're going to probably go down to the local liquor store and pick up some booze, and he didn't want to do that.
Well, he still sounds like he was a wonderful father.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But he taught me that lesson, and I've followed that the rest of my life. But anyway, let's get back to some of these stories, because you're not talking about major anything. These are little acts that you can change a person's life, right?
Well, yes. The wonderful thing that I love about Angels on Earth is all of the stories. There's 29 chapter angels, and these are all people that wrote me or emailed me, really, and sent their stories into me. And some of the stories are much more complicated, and then some are really very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about the book is that, you know, it really kind of reinforces how we all have the ability to be an angel for someone else.
Right.
And I think that it's fair to say that, you know, last week with the terrible, terrible situation in Las Vegas, we saw in the news, too, how there were so many people with so much goodness and hearts that were so big that were willing to, you know, almost, you know, risk their own lives able to help somebody else.
Yep. Yeah,
and I think, you know, it is a time right now where these inspirational stories can make a difference. And I hear from readers a lot that they love to keep my book on their bed table. And they read just one chapter a night because it's like a nice way to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. A positive way. Well, you know, a few years back, wasn't there a book out called Pay It Forward?
Oh, my God, yes, of course.
You know, and that makes sense, too, because sometimes the person that you help, like you said, Maurice now has his own family. He's moving it forward in a positive way. A lot of people will do that, or maybe they'll put that hand out to someone else.
You know, it's interesting. With Pay It Forward, I worked at Teen People when that book came out, and I love that book. I love the concept how if you just help three people and those three people help three people, and when an invisible thread was coming out, I wanted some author endorsements. And my editor just said, well, you know, write down your favorite books and then reach out to them. And I'm like, you can really reach out to authors?
Sure.
And I reached out to Katherine Ryan Hyde, and she actually gave me an endorsement for An Invisible Thread. But the concept is such a simple concept. If we could all just open up our eyes and hearts to our surroundings and just help three people even in our lifetime, those three people will help three people.
And it's not asking for a whole, again, it doesn't, because everybody is on a different level. There are some people that have, you know, more money or assets that they can help on a big scale. Other people have it on a little scale. And so what? Little scale's nothing. I mean, that'll help too.
You know, there is a story in California that, you know, I love to talk about, because with this particular story, And it was the first chapter in the book, and it was called The Hug. And the reason why I loved this story so much was because it was so simple. And it was Drew Sanchez. She was in a supermarket. She saw a young mother with three small children. It brought her back to when she was a young mom and she was struggling, but she was now at a point in her life where she was more financially settled. And she could tell that the mom was struggling by the food that she had in her basket, as well as the young boy was holding a calculator. And she ended up going and just buying a gift card. And, you know, with the holiday season fast approaching, there's so many people who need our help.
Mm-hmm.
And she went over to the mom and she said, you know, I hope I'm not stepping over the line. She said, but I'd love to just give you this gift card. And the mom started to cry, and she gave her this big hug, and she accepted it. And as she was walking away, the two little boys were calling for her, and she turned around, and they ran up to her, and they gave her a big hug. And that just that simple hug kind of changed her perspective on her own life.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
You know,
it makes you feel good.
You know what? And I love the fact that you said it makes you feel good, because there is a chapter also in Angels on Earth called The Helper's High. And Dr. Dale Atkins, she has done a lot of research on this Helper's High. And what she has found out is that the more you give, the better you feel. And it almost is like kindness becomes contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a real saying of a Helper's High. And I always say to students, because I talk at schools a lot, how it's probably the best high that you can possibly get.
Right. And we're so bombarded, Laura, let's be honest about it, you know, with advertising on the internet, on television, in movies, magazines, newspapers, you know, on what we should do, how we should accomplish, make more money, yada, yada. And you go, wait a minute, we're like a little speck in time on this earth. And
right.
Who cares how much you make? I mean, yeah, you want to be successful if you possibly can,
mm-hmm.
but not to the point of taking advantage of everybody out there and not giving a damn for what's going to happen in their life.
Right, absolutely. You know, in Angels on Earth, I mentioned that there's 29 extraordinary invisible thread stories. And, you know, I also do believe that we can all live happier, more purposeful lives by sharing acts of kindness.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I talk in schools, I talk about how a small act of kindness can be something as simple as inviting someone who's eating alone in the cafeteria to join that person and their friends, or smiling and saying hello to someone that they might normally just ignore. So you don't have to save the world to be kind, but when you incorporate kindness and you make an effort to incorporate it into your life, you will live a more enriched and a happier and definitely a more purposeful life.
You know, it's interesting because when I go to a mall and I, you know, be walking up and down the mall, whether I'm with my husband or not, doesn't make any difference, I smile at people.
Yeah.
Now, the first time they see you, they go, nutcase, you know, this
yeah.
is a crazy lady. Why is she smiling at me? You see them again, and all of a sudden, they're smiling.
They smile back.
Exactly. And the act of kindness doesn't have to be money. It could be just your time, you know.
Yes.
Spend a little time with somebody. Ask them how they're doing and instead of just keep walking down the hall after you ask, you know. Listen to them.
It's so true. There's also a story in Angels on Earth, and it's Jim Kettlewell, and he was in a bookstore, and what was so interesting is he was finishing an invisible thread, and he was having a cup of coffee. And a young man was on the phone, and he was frantically trying to figure out why he hadn't gotten his paycheck. And, you know, unfortunately, so many people today live from paycheck to paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
And he had run into some really hard times. His young daughter was living with him, and he'd been staying at a hotel, but because his paycheck didn't come in, he was trying to find a spot in a homeless shelter.
Oh, my.
And Jim's father was a pastor and always taught him to be kind. And when the man got off the phone, Jim said, "It sounds like you're having a very, very difficult day." He said, "Come with me." He said, "Let me please make your day just a little bit easier." And he took him to an ATM machine. He didn't ask him any questions, and he took money out of the ATM machine, and he handed it to him. And the man, Rick, wanted his telephone number and his address, and he said, no, no. He said, this is okay. He said, you know, someday, hopefully when you're more financially settled, you'll think of someone, you'll see someone who is struggling, and you'll think of me, and you'll help them out. And it's really, it was very sad to me, because in over the summer of last year, just a couple months before an Invisible Angels on Earth was coming out, and he was so excited to have his story in the book, he passed away.
Aww.
And so there's not only angels on Earth, but there are also these angels in heaven that are helping to direct us,
yep,
to help us live better lives.
Absolutely. Now, do you have a website, Laura?
I do have a website, and the name of the website is laurashroff.com. And in fact, there is a section on the website where you can actually meet the angels. You can see pictures of all of the people who are in the book.
Fantastic. Well, Laura, I want to thank you so much for taking the time today. Hopefully that inspiration, just in a little way, will be passed on to someone out there, and someone else is going to be the recipient of that positive, you know, feeling of life.
Well, thank you. And I love the fact, Mary, that thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
I will. Thank you.
Keep those stories coming.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's Laura Schroff, and it's S-C-H-R-O-F-F, Laura, S-C-H-R-O-F-F, and you can go to laurashroff.com. Name of the book, Angels on Earth. You can be one. It doesn't take much. Angels, well, it's in all of us. That's why we talk about it on Pop Off.